door with Message of Freedom. You're listening to The Freedom Message with Stephen Vincent, live on BBSRadio.com. Thank you for tuning in. The number to call into the show and participate is 877-270-8714. Get a pen, write that down. 877-270-8714. I would love to take your call and hear how you're doing, how you're feeling, what you're thinking, and any opinions you might have about the content of this show, about Ron Paul and the Freedom Message, about the political scene in this country and around the world. What's on your mind? Give us a call, 877-270-8714. So, today is actually a relatively slow news day. Most days there's so much material to put up that I can't possibly get it all out there for you. But, I shouldn't say that. There's plenty of stuff to tell you. Just nothing that's, let's say, on the level of what's been going on the last, you know, month or so, where it's been one major breaking news story after another, after another, after another. Today, I don't think there's anything particularly earth-shaking to report for you, so that actually creates an opportunity for me to play something for you that I might not otherwise have a chance to, which is my latest video blog, and I will play the first half. This is available on my YouTube channel, which you can access via my website at www.ronpaulfreedommessage.com, ronpaulfreedommessage.com. And this video blog is, the theme of it is the next stage. The next stage. So I'm going to let you have a listen, and I probably won't be able to play the second half, so you're going to have to go to my webpage or to my video YouTube video channel and have a listen. And by all means, feel free to comment, whether by calling into the show, 877-270-8714, or by commenting on the YouTube itself directly in those text boxes. You know those text boxes that you comment in? I know you guys are all familiar with that, so don't have to tell you about that. Here we go. Video blog for October 17th, 2000, and actually it would be the 15th, 2007. Hi, this is Stephen Vincent with the Freedom Message for October 15th, 2007. The theme for today is the next stage. This Saturday past may have been a very important day in the history of the Ron Paul Revolution. In fact, it may have been a historic day in the history of the United States. In over 65 cities, people walked in support of the Ron Paul Revolution and in support of Ron Paul and his freedom message. In many of the cities, the numbers exceeded 200 or 300 people. The candidate himself appeared in New York City. Emerging from a private function, he surged onto the street and was surrounded, mobbed by supporters. And as he left the scene, he crossed the street into Grand Central Station, one of our country's landmarks. The crowd followed behind him and streamed into Grand Central Station, occupying it, taking it over, the candidate surging up the stairs and onto the balcony overlooking the Grand Central Concourse, delivering a short but very important speech in which he declared that there is a revolution happening in America today. Very, very, very interesting and significant. So, are we, in fact, witnessing a revolution of sorts in the United States today? I had someone recently compare what's happening in the United States today to the fall of the Berlin Wall, and that hadn't occurred to me, but it seems to me that it's possible that that analogy is applicable. A very sudden shift in the mood of the people, a very sudden awakening and emergence of the people into political life, sweeping away the old order in a very short period of time in a relatively peaceful way. Perhaps that is an analogy that is applicable to what we are seeing today. I think that it's time to take it to the next stage. And what would the next stage be? Well, if you've listened to people in the Ron Paul movement, and if you've got your finger on the pulse, you'll notice that many people are now starting to speak about the need to get into grassroots organizing on a precinct level, on a block-by-block level, on a congressional district level, that we need to start hitting the streets, knocking on doors, and identifying the voters that we are going to turn out at the election place on primary and caucus day. And that day is fast approaching. So we need to get on the ball right now. So far, our efforts have been primarily of a raise awareness and sort of get the word out type of activity, and they've been unbelievably successful. I don't think there's any way to really put a number on the publicity value generated by the activity of Ron Paul supporters by hanging banners and signs and distributing literature and having walks and all the other kinds of activities, sign wavings that Ron Paul supporters have been so creative in developing and putting on in these last months. I think the number may be in the hundreds of millions of dollars of worth of publicity, and it has had a definite effect. We have affected the consciousness of the people, and we have started to penetrate the major media to where they are forced and obliged to acknowledge what we are accomplishing. So it's very significant. Don't for a minute think that the work that we are doing hasn't amounted to anything, because it has. However, it is now time to go to the next stage. So, there's my analysis of the current situation politically and organizationally in the Ron Paul Revolution. And I guess what I'm calling on people to do is to go beyond the types of activities that we have been doing into more organized get out the vote activities. We need to really organize, package up the vote, and put it in the box. We can't just leave it to chance that people are going to turn out on election day. Part of the problem is that people have a tendency to be somewhat apathetic about primaries. Now, this works to our advantage because we can pretty much count on a lot of the Republican base not even bothering to vote on election day in the primaries. Why? Because no one is in the Republican field is exciting the electorate the way Ron Paul is. People just simply do not give a hoot about any of the other Republican candidates. They're very apathetic about them. So they're just going to wait and see how things fall out and then vote on election day in the primaries. So we have the advantage of being the only motivated and at this time semi-organized force. So I would like to be able to say we are the only motivated and organized force. We are the only motivated force. Now, how organized are we? Well, we're at best semi-organized. If we get fully organized to turn out the vote, we can simply overwhelm the motivated supporters of the other candidates on election day. And given certain concerns about the validity of election results, we certainly will need to actually overwhelm them in order to turn out a victory. Because as we all know, there will be games played with the vote. So, and I mentioned in the blog the analogy that the situation politically in our country could be compared to the fall of the Berlin Wall and the crumbling of the Eastern European communist dictatorships, and how that took place over a very, very short period of time, and very quickly, with very almost bloodlessly in most cases, where the people just suddenly woke up, rose up, and ran those rats out of office. And we could very well be witnessing a similar kind of an awakening among the American people, and the vehicle through which this rising and overthrow, in a sense, is taking place is the Ron Paul Revolution and this election. And Ron Paul did stand on the balcony at Grand Central Station and did declare there is a revolution happening in this country today. So I don't think he meant those words in any kind of a sort of a allegory or you know in any way other than literally, you know. So is that really the situation we have? It bears examination. It bears thought, and it certainly requires our attention and our action. I believe we have Bill on the line, and Bill is meetup organizer for New York City. Bill Buren, are you there? Do we have Bill on the line? Hello, Bill. Okay, seems like we lost him. So let's go ahead and see if we can get Bill back on the line and try that again. Let me know when we've got him back. And let's go ahead and I'll play for you this piece from MSNBC that is some coverage that came out over the last day.
Joe, I got to ask you about one other thing.
Sure. This is Joe Scarborough's
Paul,
Morning Joe.
Yep. Huh? Tell me what the guy's like, because I want to tell you.
Yeah.
If you mess with Ron Paul in on television or online, you are going to feel the wrath of some serious followers. We've been dealing with this the last few weeks at CNBC. We did an online poll after the debate of who won the debate. Ron Paul dominated the debate, and some of my colleagues at CNBC thought that there was something wrong with that. They took the poll down. I want to tell you, my email box, thousands and thousands and thousands of email, like I haven't seen from any other, you know, followers of Chris Dodd or Bill Richardson or Joe Biden.
Well, I'll tell you, and you know, the interesting thing is that my son was back from school and was telling me about Ron Paul signs all mm-hmm. over the campus. As we were driving through Pensacola, there was a Ron Paul sign, handmade, yeah. actually stenciled on every single sign that where you could attach something, and that's happening all across America. And you've got a couple things going here. You've got Republicans that don't see any real conservatives out there. You've got libertarians that want the government off their back, and you also have people on the far left who like his message about the war mm-hmm. and keeping the government from our phone records and things. It is a fascinating cross current.
Yeah,
what do his Republican colleagues in the House think about it?
Truthfully, everybody thinks everybody's thought that he's been crazy for a while. As far as too conservative, too libertarian, he is he's an independent, very independent guy. He doesn't play by the rules, and so that he's always sort of been off by himself in the Republican caucus going back to 1996 when he came in, and he was in before. But then again, you know, he ran as a libertarian against the Republican Party. I suspect he may run as an independent again this year if he doesn't win, which would be really bad news.
Well, there's something to him, though, because he's got this really fervent following, and I think it was in the style section of the Washington Post yesterday about his fundraising, which, I mean, he's actually been able to raise some money.
He raised as much as John McCain in the third quarter.
Yeah, and you know, John, when you hear him talk, he's an extremely impressive man. I said Republicans thought he was crazy. He's an extremely impressive man. He's brilliant. He didn't, and he practices what he practices what he preaches. He doesn't let his daughter, didn't let his children take student loans out from the federal government. He's a doctor that doesn't take Medicare or Medicaid. And I'll tell you what, like my 19-year-old son, who's not excited about any candidates, was saying, "Man, I went on these websites and everybody's excited about this guy." It's interesting, John, isn't it?
Thank you, John.
See you guys.
Thanks, John.
Right, hey, John, next time you're at the Four Seasons, can we come along?
Yeah, really.
Kind of hang out?
I'll bring you some cookies or something. They're really good.
Oh,
that'd be
okay, so there was MSNBC with some commentary about Ron Paul, and that was on the Morning Joe show this morning. So there's one of the, producers of MSNBC commenting about how he just got overwhelmed with, let's call it, attention when they pulled the MSNBC poll that Ron Paul supporters had won for Ron Paul because they just didn't like the result. And recognizing that we are a force. Now, we're some people to be reckoned with, okay? We got to take these guys seriously. That's what he's saying there in that clip. Joe Scarborough commenting again favorably about Ron Paul, that he's a brilliant individual. You know, and the other woman host there, again, giving recognition to our efforts. Now, as I said in my video blog, we've done an absolutely phenomenal job. I mean, really, truly, we have done an unbelievable job on the consciousness raising and on the sort of get the word out about Ron Paul and the freedom message. We have, I don't know how to put a dollar figure on it, but it's got to be in the hundreds of millions of dollars of publicity and advertising that, as Joe Scarborough indicated, you know, in Florida, where he lives, on every light pole, a hand-stenciled Ron Paul sign. You know, I mean, you can't buy that. You know, and in the sense that we have for Ron Paul, we have put Ron Paul and the Ron Paul campaign on the map politically through our efforts. And we need to continue that. But the next stage is upon us. And without any further ado, we absolutely must go on to the next stage of organizing the vote. So let's see if we have Bill Buren back on the line.
Yes, we are.
Okay, Bill, we lost you there the first time. How you doing?
Oh, great. Steve, thanks so much for having me this evening, or actually this afternoon out there in California.
Right. Well, it's really a pleasure to have you on. Now, folks, Bill Buren is the organizer of the New York City Ron Paul meetup, and he was present for that amazing clip that I played yesterday, where Ron Paul leads the charge across the street straight into the Grand Central Station and into the concourse, where it is occupied by the Ron Paul nation, and he mounts the rostrum, almost the balcony, and delivers a very short but certainly important speech to the troops. Why don't you go ahead and tell us about that, Bill, and your perspective from the inside of that. Now, you were very close to it, as I understand, as one of Ron Paul's security guards.
Yes, I was part of the security detail that morning because, you know, Ron Paul didn't bring enough advance team. Luckily, my friends with the NYPD. So myself and a couple of the friends joined in on that eve day. But so I was right up front, right on his left side the whole day. And, you know, it was quite amazing. I just want to say that we have to go back a little bit to Friday evening New York City meetup fundraiser we had for Ron Paul, because a lot of those same people were there, and the energy just came from that Friday night evening to Saturday morning's rally. And yes, that stroll down Grand Central, I remember walking down that, and I was only 2 feet away from Ron Paul, right in front of him, watching the people in front of me, you know, tell me the move. And I just remember his face. He just started laughing, and he covered his face because he couldn't believe they were coming into Grand Central in such a force. And his security inspector was on his right. I was on his left. And he just yelled at me. Well, we had mics on. And I heard in my ear. He goes, what should we do? And we just, someone said, our third security officer said, just yelled, look at the terrorist, and just go for the terrorist. So it was very spontaneous. There was a lot of energy. Even Ron Paul was just overwhelmed. I heard he was even a little, got a little emotional. And he stepped up there, and literally, this is Grand Central, and for about 3 seconds, it was so silent in there you could hear a pin drop when Ron Paul stood on the terrace and raised his hands to quiet the crowd down. And because what was great was not only a dark, 200 people become quiet, but the rest of Grand Central, hundreds of other passengers stood quiet waiting for Ron Paul to speak.
Unbelievable. Yeah, I was going to ask you about that because I knew from just seeing it that it was a completely unplanned and spontaneous moment that just flowed from the situation. And if it was any other candidate, you can be damn sure that they would have sat in a conference for 6 hours and hashed over every single detail to decide, before pulling, something like that, or letting anything like that happen. You can be damn sure. And I knew, just from looking at it, that this was not a planned stunt of any kind. Now, my question was, we saw in the CNBC coverage of Ron Paul that they had the cameras on the street with Ron Paul and with the supporters, and they were out there. And so what happened to them when the charge took place across the street to Grand Central Station? Didn't they follow and didn't they catch this? And if they did, why haven't they broadcast it? Very interesting. Go ahead, Bill.
Very interesting. Well, unfortunately, I did not want to blame CNN because it certainly wasn't their fault. Ron Paul's campaign staff just brought such a small advance staff with them to New York, left in the country, but... It was just Ron Paul, his security director, myself, and then two of my friends who were off duty prisoners that day to help. And we were just in the front, watching Ron Paul as he walked down the Grand Central. So there was no team in the back to direct media, direct reporters, direct anything like that. Because we unfortunately did not have the staff.
Sure.
For that day to work on that. That was discussed the following day about, what went right and what went wrong. But obviously, as we all saw on the videos here, and everywhere, A lot went right.
Yeah, that was a real, to me, that smacked of a real historic moment. It is a shame that it wasn't caught with a more high quality camera and better audio. Now, if I am sitting in the corridors of power, and, I am sitting in my ivory tower, and I am seeing this on YouTube, I'm telling you, I'm feeling a little bit nervous. Here's this guy who's able to get 500, we're estimating 300 to 500 people here, right? 300 to 500 people to just follow him, storm Central's Grand Central Station, mount an impromptu rally right there in the nerve center of the nation's largest city, to a fully enthusiastic crowd. I mean, if I'm someone sitting up there in the at the pinnacle of power and wondering how I'm going to keep it, I'm starting to wonder whether the Berlin Wall is falling. You know what I'm saying?
We all thought a tide definitely turned that morning. But not just in New York. I mean, we all knew that there was another 60 plus rallies and marches going on in the country. So,
exactly.
We were all feeling the energy. We were all feeling the hope. Maybe New York got a little extra spark because Ron Paul was just there. But I think Saturday, people took it as looked at the big picture. We really think that the campaign, there was definitely a movement that started on Saturday. Something will definitely come of this in a very positive manner.
Absolutely. Well, I think that I'm hearing that from lots of different corners of the nation, and I don't know if you had a chance to listen to my video blog yet that I posted about all of this and the proposal for the next stage. But in speaking with Chris Holly and some others about, you know, where do we take this from here? I think that it's great. It's unbelievable what we've been able to do in terms of creating public awareness and consciousness about Ron Paul and his message. But I think there's also an understanding that if we need to right now and very quickly move to organizing the vote. You know, organize it, put it in a package, and put it in the box.
Steve, on that, the New York City Meetup Group is actually taking that step now. We've actually just put up a website this week called www.ny4ronpaul.com. And what we've done is that we're going to unite all the New York Meetup Groups under one website, under one form, under one email address, so that we can unite the state and all these different meetups groups and throughout the state.
Okay.
So that we can start working together a little better, because, as awesome as meetup.com has been, it's hard to communicate between each other sometimes.
Right.
Especially amongst other groups. And I definitely recommend that to other meetup groups out there in other states is to do that. Would be to take your group, take your volunteer group, and then unite the state. Either through, you can do a website like that we have, or some other stuff, because we do need a larger force, a larger presence. You're right.
Yeah, and in a more organized approach to actually winning the election, what I envision is, we generate the force of people with another walk, but we take that force and then break it down into smaller groups to go out into a targeted area. Targeted section of a given city or town to do door-to-door canvassing, where we literally get the name and the number and the address of anybody who might be a potential Ron Paul voter, so that we can follow up.
MapQuest.com would be your best friend.
What's that again?
So the MapQuest.com or Google Maps,
sure.
Your best friend,
yeah.
For creating maps and canvassing areas.
Yeah, and then there's absolutely. And then there's also the matter of getting voter registration lists from
correct.
Different sources. There's all kinds of material out there that's available and accessible to us that we need to take advantage of. But just getting more like that, really doing the outreach in a concrete way and getting commitments from people that, yeah, I'm going to vote for Ron Paul. Okay, great. Well, I'll see you on the 5th of February. We'll be here to pick you up. We'll have a van. We'll get you in. We'll drive you there. We'll give you tea and coffee along the way and get you home again, or pick you up at work or whatever it takes, I mean, really.
Obviously it's state by state, but I would say for the meetup groups right now, depending on the state, the next thing that should be high on the list of agenda is to do a voter drive to make sure everyone is registered Republican for their primary. New York State just passed on Friday, October 12th.
Right.
Some of the states, they're all different, so I want to make sure everyone's aware that they need to check the state voter registration guidelines and make sure they, because we have here in New York, for 3 weeks, we went out there and got thousands and thousands of voter registration cards from the Board of Elections and marked them Republican, and then started handing them out with the Ron Paul literature. So they're already pre-filled out for Republican on the voter registration cards, handed the Ron Paul literature, and just started handing them out. We have booths and tables also. So I would say for those groups out there in other states that have time to do voter registration drives, that's still in quarantine.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that that's one of the things when you do go door-to-door that you're going to want to have those voter registration forms with you so that when you encounter somebody who says, yeah, you know, I heard about Ron Paul, and, you know, it seems like I'd like to vote for him, but I'm registered Democrat, so I guess I can't. Well, you know what, sir? I happen to have a voter registration form right here, right now. Let's go ahead and get that filled out. I'll be happy to mail it in for you. You know, and when you get that, you make a photocopy of it, you know, and you've got the guy's information, and, you know, you put him on the list of people that are, you know, have pledged to vote for Ron Paul, and then you're getting back to that person on election day or, you know, somewhere in that area to get him on down there and make it happen, turn out that vote. And I think we have an advantage here where a motivated and organized force, I think, can go into these primaries and pull off a real upset, because the voter base for the other candidates just simply is not motivated. Now, we have the example of the Nevada straw poll that happened recently, run by the Conservative Leadership Conference, and Mitt Romney went down there. He actually spoke at it and didn't win. You know, he was there, the only candidate who actually went to it, and he did not win. Ron Paul did win.
That's a great point, Steve. People need to go in their neighborhoods, in their counties, states. They need to look for special interest groups that will appeal to Ron Paul's ideals and philosophies, and go to those special interest groups. You know, and I'm not talking, you know, lobbies, but when I say special interest groups, people, you know, like the churches, gun owners, gun shops. The American Legion, those kind of people, went to life, and, you know, talk to them, you know, get their support, and because word of mouth advertising is the most powerful source of advertising, more than any, print, television, or radio can ever do.
You could make a concerted effort to visit every single nursing home and senior care facility in a given area. I think that those would be ripe with the potential voters, well, people that you know that do vote. Another good point is that there is an actual election coming up this November. Now, I believe it's the 4th, if I'm not mistaken. And generally speaking, they are smaller county or city level elections. There's a few governor or elections for governor and thing, but this is mostly pretty minor stuff coming up. But the people that are going to go to those elections are hardcore voters. In other words, if you turn out for this minor stuff that pretty much nobody pays any attention to, then you're a hardcore voter. You know, you're someone who turns out no matter what. So we want to reach those people and make sure that they know about Ron Paul and his message. So
right. And another action a lot of these groups should be holding and finding ways that, you know, to accomplish it is a fundraising event for Ron Paul. You know, everything from, if you still have warm weather, you know, maybe to throw a barbecue event, bake off, any kind of fundraising event that, you know, pours more money into his account is also very important at this stage.
Yeah, right now we are at about $965,000 raised for this quarter so far, at least via the widget. Now, I think that this widget online is only actually counting what's coming in via the online by clicking on the widget itself. So, you know, it's not a full count, but we are somewhere slightly shy of $1 million in about 2 weeks. So that's about $500,000 a week, and that comes in at about half of what they set for a goal. If we continue at this pace, we will be looking at $2 million by the end of the month.
That should be another emphasis for a lot of meetup groups out there, is to do a fundraising drive. When we meet in New York, headquarters now, so we have a designated place, but for weeks, you know, for months before this, we would meet at bars and taverns, but we would charge $20 to get in, and that, you know, that was always, you know, gone straight to the campaign. So I think that's very important to everyone wants to start worrying, you know, concentrating on some more fundraising.
Yeah, and to those people out there that are listening, who, you know, may possibly be in a group or not in a group. You know, if you're in a group and you're not active, or if you're not in a group and you're not really yet supporting the Ron Paul campaign actively, I don't think we can emphasize enough that we have before us a historical moment which is not going to be repeated. You know, all of us in life, we've encountered certain circumstances that have come together and presented us with an opportunity. And we all know what it's like to see that, wow, here's an opportunity, and to act on it and to make good on that opportunity. And we've all done that. And then we also know what it's like to look back in retrospect and see, wow, I had this really good, unique opportunity. And opportunities, generally speaking, are unique. That's what makes them opportunities. And I failed to capitalize on that, and I failed to make good on the potential of that moment. I don't think we want to be looking back on this day, on this period of time, and say to ourselves, wow, we had it all. We had the candidate, we had the message, the mood of the people was right and ripe, and we just didn't do the things that were necessary to make it happen. We fell down. We didn't really, you know. And if you're out there listening, you know, you're going to be in that position someday if you don't step up and get involved and get active. It's not enough to be clicking on polls online. It's not enough to be filling out text boxes.
Right. Of all the YouTube videos and all the blogs, I think that is what started this campaign, but fortunately it's not going to finish it.
Exactly.
You're right. Everyone now needs to, you know, step up and act.
Absolutely.
I agree 100%.
You know, at least start by making contributions and, you know, max out as much as you can to contribute, a minimum that. But then you got to step beyond that. And you know, and not everybody is like me or Bill. And, you know, we're capable of going up to a total stranger and talking to them about Ron Paul and his freedom message. And, you know.
It's not easy. I went to with the Ron Paul family 3 weeks ago for a canvassing effort.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say that, you know, I had to go door to door, and the first dozen or so doors, it was not easy, but you know what? After you realize that you're there for a higher purpose, it does eventually become second nature and becomes fun. You enjoy it.
Actually, Bill, I was planning on contacting somebody who had been to that, because I wanted to learn from that experience of how they organized it and what kinds of materials they used and what that was like. Why don't you give us maybe a little insight into, you know, how that was organized, how they decided where to go, or was it just random every door?
I didn't organize it. The New Hampshire campaign, Manchester, New Hampshire campaign, because they actually have a national office there with a paid staff.
Right.
But so they organized it. But basically, they gave us, they obtained the Republican voter registration from a previous election, so they know who votes Republican.
Mm-hmm.
And then they basically took, I think they used Google Maps, and put everyone's name and address on Google Maps and handed out maybe four or five maps for every person, had the address of everyone, and go and knock. And then you would mention, you know, was it a positive reaction? You'd mention it was a negative reaction, or a undecided reaction. Then you would turn it back into their office, and they would process it basically in a sense where they would go back to people who were undecided maybe a few weeks. Which actually, the inner city meetup group, our group now, the weekend of November 1st, we're going back up to New Hampshire to join the Manchester group to continue door knocking and canvassing.
Great. I'll certainly be interested in hearing about that.
We don't really have the rural doors to knock on, a little harder. If you live in the suburbs, you know. I would say maybe. I mean, I'm assuming they get into the Board of Elections in your county, and probably free. It must be free to get to ascertain those.
Yeah, yeah. In most cases, I think you're right about that. Yep, so absolutely. So,
you Google Maps or MapQuest and pop them up, print them out, and now you have a canvassing package.
So, what's next for the New York Ron Paul meetup?
This coming weekend we're having our official grand opening of the headquarters. So we are throwing another fundraising party. And then also we have John McCain coming to town on October 30th. So we are going to make sure our presence is, you know, aware in the city while he's in town.
Yes, and there was an article, so folks know, in the Daily News called Be It Ever So Humble, It's New York Campaign Headquarters. And the Ron Paul meetup in New York does have its own actual headquarters and space, which is the only example of that I know of. There may be others. Why don't you tell the folks a story about that, that I believe a supporter gave the space to you guys?
A true Ron Paul supporter has provided the New York City Meetup Group, which has about 650 members now, a great gallery space in Chelsea, New York, on 29th Street, which anyone who goes to New York has got to stop by. And we now have it staffed every day, 3 hours in the afternoon and 3 hours in the evening. We've had press stop by. Another article you can check out is New York University's Washington Square News, student newspaper. They did an article on our fundraising and headquarters that's actually out today. You can probably go to the website. So Daily News, NYU picked it up, WOR Radio picked it up. So we are now basically open for business here in New York, and that's very exciting. And it's going to be used, you know, to do canvassing. We're going to we have our own button machine. We're going to be making buttons, making T-shirts, and also throwing parties pretty much every weekend, and charging anywhere from $20 to $50 to maybe even $100 at the door. For Ron Paul fundraising. That's, those are the primary purposes of the headquarters now.
Fantastic.
And have a present.
Outstanding. Well, that's great. And any other insights you'd like to offer on the Ron Paul visit and the rally there, or anything else?
Wow. I'm so speechless. And I'm sure everyone has watched both videos, hopefully, the one on Saturday and then his speech that he made at our headquarters the night before, which was packed. We had, you know, about 240-some people show up for that. And we raised, on that night, we raised about $60,000 that night for Ron Paul. So that was fantastic. So hopefully people watch that, because he made a great comment about Rudy Giuliani that evening.
Oh, really?
He said that this country does not need a mayor. No, this country does not need a person who was once a mayor. Of course, everyone knew that you were talking about Rudy.
Right.
And the generous donor who gave us the space has become our motto now for the New York City headquarters, and that is they're all constricts. We are freedom fighters.
Right. Yeah.
And
I mean,
it's now placed, yeah, you know, in the press, and then it's now a banner on our entrance.
Yeah. Well, all the other campaigns are definitely paid for. You know, I mean, if you encounter somebody on the street for one of the other candidates, pretty much you're encountering a paid, paid employee. Not that campaigns don't need paid employees, but you certainly need a lot less of them when you've got an entire army of volunteers, and a talented army of volunteers too. Because
we have great talent.
Oh, it's
we're
unbelievable.
We're so fortunate to have people from advertising, marketing, public relations, Wall Street executives on our team, and you know, obviously being in New York, maybe that's one of the advantages, but. So we have a great team. They're very dedicated, and we had the Daily News reporter who wrote that same article on Sunday about the humble, you know, home. She would be doing a follow-up eventually because she took a lot more information. And she's mentioned how she's been interviewing other candidates, you know, volunteers and staff. And she says even though she senses that Ron Paul supporters are the only ones who truly believe their candidate is going to win.
Right.
She's spoken to Obama's team, Hillary's claim team, Rudy's claim team, and, you know, they're all just there, like zombies, and, you know, they don't really care if he wins or loses. They don't even know what's going to happen. But she goes, she says, you know, after that interview, she mentioned that Ron Paul, you know, supporters and volunteers are the only ones who are out there who will say without a, you know, doubt in their mind that their candidate will win, and I think that's how we are going to win.
Yeah. Yeah, but we have to take it to the next stage. We have to start getting out there in an organized way. So, you know, what I'll be putting out.
Everyone needs to organize. I just want to maybe end here real quick.
Sure.
So I just want to get back. I appreciate this. I know you're spreading the message loud and clear. But you're right. So everyone needs to organize their state. If you have 20 meetup groups, somehow form a viable one-source option of, you know, organizing them all together so that everyone has a legitimate one, you know, campaign across the state that resonates with the voters, especially those who are not Ron Paul. Because if your state primary is closed, you know, your only goal now is to get people who are registered Republican to vote for Ron Paul.
That's it. Yeah, everyone has a different task ahead of themselves right now, needs to focus on exactly, you know, what they need to do in a hardcore nuts and bolts kind of way. You're absolutely right about that. Now is the time. Now is the time. We have this window of opportunity. It's a very short one. It's a very small one. But if we take the appropriate action right now, we absolutely can win. It's not guaranteed, but we do have the opportunity to actually win this primary election.
The opportunity and the feasibility and the hope is there. I tell everyone, you know, we're going to win.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to win. I think New Hampshire is going to be a surprise to all.
Yeah, I believe that. I believe that we're going to win if we do the things that need to be done. If we sit on our hands and just let somebody else do the work and think it's going to get done by somebody else, then I think that we may not win.
Even though we have, I mean, for example, New York City Meetup Group has 650 members approximately, but we probably only have about 175. Who are active members.
Right.
I'm not sure we'll have the other 500, but...
I'd like to see that change.
I'm sure that's the same situation across the country.
Yeah.
Actually, one of our things we're going to do is we're going to start, because we have the headquarters now, we're going to be throwing midweek parties, you know, showing videos of Ron Paul, and we're going to invite people to stop by the headquarters for free. And, you know, we'll have free popcorn, and they can watch videos, and hopefully do that in order to get more volunteers. Obviously, you need as many volunteers as there will be campaigns. The bigger the city, the more people you're going to need.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, get volunteers, get more volunteers, do some fundraising, become active, get out on the street. Those are all good things to do in the next few weeks.
Well, the next All-America Walk for the Ron Paul Freedom Message is the 17th. Of October, November. So go ahead and get that that permit taken care of. Just a reminder to folks out there. New York City wasn't able.
It won't be a problem.
Okay.
We're planning. We're talking about that now. New York City has another event that we'll be doing. I'm sorry, you know, we have so many events around here. I can't remember all of them, but. Ron Paul, our team will be marching with a little float in the New York City Halloween Parade.
Oh, great.
which draws something like 3 point some million viewers, they said. Yeah, network that covers it. So, but we're excited about that. And yeah, we will be there on marching. On
all right. That is fantastic.
But we'll be there.
That is absolutely fantastic. I cannot wait to see that. That's going to be some piece of video. So that's the kind of thing we need to do. This weekend, folks are going to be out at the NASCAR event in North Carolina. The Linda Honeycutt, the Granny Warrior with her RV, is driving out there again to do another NASCAR event. So anybody in North Carolina, get out to Martindale, I think is the name of the town, Martindale, for another huge event, 200,000 people. I think that we definitely need to. Any opportunity where there's hundreds of thousands of people, we got to be there.
That's a good one.
Yep, absolutely. They did that this last weekend, and they're going to do it again this coming weekend. So I want to thank you so much for coming on the show, and you know, any old time, anything going on that you want to report in on, or any developments that you want to comment on, feel free to just pick up the phone and give us a call.
Now.
All right.
And before I leave, yeah, get anyone in New York City, make sure you go to www.ny4ronpaul.com. We'll be updating that daily with more and more NYC events, actually New York State events, at the New York State wide website. And anyone who comes to New York City has got to stop by the headquarters. And you know, we have all kinds of signs and literature, a lot of official campaign material there, that if anyone needs anything or pick up anything to take back with them, we'd be more than happy to help them out.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Bill. Do you want to give out the address for that?
That is, sir. We're in New York City. It's 515 West 29th Street, New York, New York.
And is there a contact number for the office?
We're getting the phone installed this week.
Okay.
I'll be more happy to give my phone number.
No, don't worry about that. That's okay. That's all right.
It'll be on the website. So remember, ny4ronpaul.com.
Well, thank you so much, Bill Buren. Great job, and keep in touch, okay, brother?
Anytime, Steve. Take it from here.
All right, bye-bye.
Good.
All right, Bill Buren, New York City Ron Paul meetup organizer. Great. So, I wanted to comment on an article on Yahoo News. Let me see if I can find it here. Yahoo News had an article which delved deeply into campaign financing and goes into all of the campaigns who the financing of the different campaigns. Okay, Romney spent $21 million in the third quarter. Giuliani spent $13 million. All this information about Romney, Giuliani, and all of these. This is meant to be a wrap up and highlights of the fundraising efforts. And if Ron Paul, out of nowhere, supposedly raising $5.1 million and beating out supposed first-tier candidate John McCain, isn't a relevant highlight in such an article, I don't know what the heck would be. Yet it's excluded from this article this morning in Yahoo News. There's absolutely no mention whatsoever of Ron Paul in his phenomenal fundraising success in this article. And I was listening to National Public Radio, NPR. I prefer to refer to it as National Propaganda Radio. And again, a similar type of fundraising wrap-up, you know, on Republican and Democratic candidates. And not one mention of Ron Paul in the phenomenal truly phenomenal success that he had in raising money in the third quarter. Not a mention. I was going to play it for you. I went to their website. I couldn't seem to find the clip. But it seems to me we still have some work to do. If they can write these articles and if they can put out pieces like that on NPR without mentioning Ron Paul, we still have work to do. We've done a heck of a job, as we saw in the CNBC clip with Joe Scarborough that I played earlier, that, you know, we do oblige them to recognize us, okay? But it's apparently not enough. You know, we're gonna have to meet that $12 million goal in order to get the kind of attention, $12 million by the end of the year, to get the kind of attention that apparently we deserve. And I can guarantee you that if we do not meet the goal and we come up short by 50% or so, which is what we're on track to do, that the media will certainly comment on that. That'll be front page news. That'll be at the top of the hour for, weeks, about how Ron Paul came up short and wasn't able to raise the money that he set a goal for. So, folks, we still got a job to do to get the word out and shift this debate, shift the perception in the media and in the general public. There's an interesting widget on a website called opensecrets.org, opensecrets.org, and a listener sent this to me. And you can find the contributions from selected industries for each candidate. So under healthcare professionals, Hillary Clinton has over $1 million raised from healthcare professionals. Ron Paul's right in the middle with almost $75,000, just under John Edwards. And you can select different industries and see who's getting what from whom. Let's see, the tobacco industries, take a wild guess who comes up on that one. Rudy Giuliani overwhelmingly taking that from the tobacco industry. And if we go to oil and gas, again, Rudy Giuliani, about twice as much as the next candidate, which would be Mitt Romney, and so on. It's pretty interesting. You can go check that out at opensecrets.org. I want to update you on the situation in Florida. Told you in the past that a number of different stories started with Brian Orr in a town in Florida where he was prevented from putting up his Ron Paul sign, or rather he put it up and was told that he would be fined $1,000 a day or something like that if he did not take the sign down. Small standard yard sign in his yard on his property that he owns. He fought that. He won. We learned that a woman had her truck bedecked with Ron Paul signs, and that she was told by the city in, I think it was Clearwater, Florida, that if she did not remove the signs from her truck, that she would be fined $1,000 a day for putting signs on her truck.